We've been looking at Psalm 119, the longest psalm. And I've told you the psalm is divided into eight verses, and there is a beautiful progression. And we have kind of finished the first standard, and we've gone through the second standard, and now we have progressed to the third standard. Okay, so this is the first lesson in our third standard. There are again the eight verses, and this standard, it starts with the Hebrew, just like in every standard there are sections, right? So this standard, these eight verses are called with the Hebrew, third Hebrew letter, Gimel, right? If you have some King James version, some authorized version, it will have a title called Gimel. That basically means the third letter, Hebrew letter. Okay? So here we are in the third standard. So what is the first lesson? Verse 70. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. Deal bountifully with your servant, that I may live and keep your word. The psalmist starts this third standard, the first lesson, with a prayer, right? Very happy, because earlier class you will see there was continuous resolution. You remember the resolution, I will desire, I will understand, that there was a resolution of perseverance, I will meditate, I will contemplate, I will delight, I will forget not. All those are, you know, resolutions. And recognizing that we cannot progress just only with the resolutions, but those resolutions, we need the grace of God to keep those resolutions. So he starts this section with a prayer. And this is a pattern you find in this psalm, right? David kind of makes a resolution and then he prays. Prayer and resolution is intermingled throughout this psalm. Okay, what is the prayer? There are three things that we can see from verse 17. That is a petition. And he expects a result out of this petition. And there is a purpose of this petition. Okay? What is the petition? Deal bountifully with your servant. That is the petition. And what's the result? That I may live. Right? That's the expectation. That I may live. And what is the purpose of you living, David? That I may keep your word. Okay? Prayer, petition, and a petition and a result and a purpose for that petition. Now, it's a wonderful prayer. We are all getting older, right? Nobody is getting younger. We are all getting over. Some of us celebrate 50 years and some of us celebrate 40 years, and if you're celebrating any 30, 40, 50, 60, I think this is a wonderful verse, wonderful prayer to pray. And if you're sick, right, some of us are not well. Deepa is not well. Today morning I went to Martha's hospital to meet one of my uncles. And he was a very hefty, strong man, loud-mouthed man. And, you know, but because of some infection, he's lost his weight completely. And I see him sleeping weak and, you know, flat before that, disease in the hospital. And even last week I wanted to preach this message, right? I got sick, couldn't even speak, and I didn't even have a voice. So we all pray for our health, we all pray for long life, and what a wonderful prayer this is, right? Let's look at this first petition. He says, God, deal bountifully. And he calls himself servant, right? First time he uses this, you know, to be a called as God's servant is a great honor. David, he doesn't want to be called as a great king, you know. He could sovereign, he could have had different titles. I am a king, Lord, be God, bountiful to your king. No, he calls himself the servant, the slave. And he asks God to deal with him in a certain way. And he uses a word called bountiful, right? Bounty. It's a wonderful word, it's an old word, It's wanting. It's a beautiful attribute of God. This attribute reflects that the God that you and I worship is not a calculating, is not a stingy God. We worship a generous God. He freely gives and He blesses us without any expectation. Right? That's called bountiful. You are so bountiful. You are so... He just doesn't give us what is enough. He kind of overflows, you know, makes us overflow with His goodness. His generosity is not based on our merit or worthiness and what He will... Because we will be generous to people when we know we can expect something from them, right? It's not like that. He's bountiful. Remember, our God is a bountiful God. It talks about His generous, unconditional blessing, right? So David asks, God, I want You to deal with me bountifully. You are a bountiful God. I know it's a beautiful attribute. So please deal with me according to Your bounty, right? Now, what is the result? That is a petition. Okay, deal with me bountifully. Now, what is the result that David is expecting from God dealing with him bountifully? Amazing. We would assume, okay, God, be bountiful, be generous with me. So bless me with all the riches. Bless me with abundant peace. Bless me with, pour out all the blessings, right? You would expect extraordinary things when David uses such words. Look at what he says. I assume probably I kind of suspect that David could have been sick at this time, right? And he says, when You deal with me bountifully, I will live. What? We kind of feel kind of let down there. We feel kind of, David, what is this? You know, the reason that, you know, this seems like a simple, why are you, what are you saying? You know, God has to be bountiful, God has to be generous to the height of His bounty so that you can live? That's what you are asking? Yes, that's what I'm asking. The reason it kind of seems very strange to us is it shows that how much you and I take life blessings for granted, right? It seems like a simple blessing for us. Let just meditate with me for a few minutes and you will understand the depth of this prayer, and that will make you overflow with gratitude. That will make your heart overflow with gratitude. See, unlike us who use a lot of theological jargons, providence of God, mercy of God and all that, David actually believed these things. First of all, David believed two things. You know, I think implied in this prayer are two things that David believed. Number one, David believed every breath in our life is because of the bountiful mercy of God. Okay, that's first thing. Secondly, he believed that our life is guarded by the protecting providence of God. Okay, let's look at these two things. When you understand these things, you will understand why he's praying like this. Every breath in life is as the result of the bountiful mercy of God. See, when we realize the relationship that God has with us, He is the Creator, He is the self-existent God, and He has no use of us, right? He has to get rid of this Arminian view that somehow God is dependent on us. Absolutely no. We depend on Him for everything and He doesn't depend on us for anything. We are irrelevant. You have to understand that. It's very, very hurtful for humanistic pride, right? But we are irrelevant for God. As sovereign God, He can do anything with His creatures. We cannot merit, you know, anything from God, right? We don't merit life. Can, you know, Job 22:2, Job says, can a man profit God? And if he is wise, you know, is it anyway profitable to God? And 35:7, he says, if you are righteous, do you give anything to Him? You are living righteous, you are living very godly. Does He gain anything out of that? He doesn't gain anything. Whatever God does for His creatures, right? It's not out of any expectation. He does it freely and he is not obligated to do anything for us. That's the first thing. And we don't earn life. Do you know that? We don't not even earn life. We don't deserve life. And the prolongation of our life is not because of any of our merit. The prolongation and the sustenance of our life is by the mere bounty and the free mercy of God. Every breath that you and I take is free mercy of God. There is a term called remunerative justice. What do you mean by that? Remunerative means, you know, because somebody owes, we think we are entitled. You know, that's the stupidest word, right? Stupidest term. There is no remunerative justice, you know. You may fight for that in your labor law with your employer, but not with God. Right? There's nothing like that with Him. As if God owes us a wage. No, we don't owe, He doesn't owe even 1 second of life to us. If God would deal with us according to our merit, right? He never dealt with us according to our merit, neither in the past, never in the future, right? He can't give us anything, you know. If he would have dealt with the merit, we shouldn't have got a single second of life, right? Because there is no compensation that we can give him. And realizing this, the old patriarch Jacob prayed in Genesis 22:10, I am unworthy of all the kindness and the faithfulness you have showed your servant. Right? We don't deserve life. Do you know that? We don't deserve 1 second of our life. Why do you think God gives us that? Right? If Adam in his innocency, right, he didn't deserve that. And God actually came down and in a gracious covenant condition, he made a covenant with him that you will have life, you will live and not die. And it was gracious again. If innocent Adam didn't deserve life, how much you and me? We don't deserve 1 second of our life because, on the contrary, we deserve every second of eternal death in hell. If we are born in sin, we should die as soon as we are born. But lo and behold, we still live on after we are born. What more? We not only live on, but with, you know, continue to live on with original sin, but we provoke God to end our life by our actual sin. As soon as we take our breath as depraved creatures, every day we provoke God to cut us off. If you would know what pain and damage even the smallest ignorant sin does to God, we will wonder how we have every second of our life. I always imagine, just like you are holding a scorpion, right? And the scorpion is always biting. But the hand is continuing to feed that scorpion. And the scorpion is biting the hand that is feeding it. That's what you and I are. Even as believers, how much we sin. You know, even our best service to God is all tainted with sin. All our righteousness cannot earn or deserve even 1 second of the air we breathe in. Because it's so defective. Our righteousness is also defective. It cannot deserve, it cannot earn 1 second of our life. If we are getting 5 years, if we are getting 10, 20, 30, 50, it is all the bountiful mercy of God. None of the mercies, because it is big. You know why? Because none of the mercies of God are small. Whatever comes from God, it's like God. Right? It is great. It has great value. So the very life when we have, you know, we don't deserve that. The problem is we simply don't realize it in our blindness and sinfulness. Every second of our life is given by the bountiful mercy of God. Probably when God opens our eyes, like when David, right, when David was woken up from this realization and he screams in Psalm 103, Oh, blessed the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. And not only He gives life, it's like adding bounty to bounty to bounty. So many forget not His benefits. And the top crowning mercy that He lays down top, He says, who forgives all your iniquities. You know what a wonder that is. Right? You are such a God-provoking creature by your sins, but He forgives all your iniquities. David knows that it's the river of pardon, pardoning mercy that allows us to breathe every second, that allows us to take the next breath every moment, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns your life with loving kindness and mercy, who satisfies your mouth with goodness. So brethren, may God open our eyes to see this. We get every second of our life because of the bountiful mercy of God. And added to that, there are millions and millions of bounties, right? Starting from the air we breathe. We don't deserve that. This is the view of the Bible. Whatever your view is, whatever your life perspective is, it doesn't matter. This is what the Bible reveals, right? We may be living in a delusional dream world, blinded by self-esteem, blinded by pride and this Satan, right? And I was teaching about saving faith. You know what saving faith is? Saving faith believes whatsoever the Bible says. This is what the Bible says. But how differently you and I like look at life, right? Every minute, you know, if we can just get this perspective, this, believe this, right? Every minute, we will be so grateful just for the life that we have, just for living. It is because of the bountiful mercy of God. And this came to a realization, right? I started looking at everything, I started looking at the food, I started looking at the blessings around me. If my life itself is such a bountiful mercy, my life is filled with all the bounties of God. And very sadly, we are not sensible of this, right? Many people have never realized this. Probably we will realize this in heaven or realize this in hell, right? And many people realize this when they face some big danger and when they fall sick and get admitted and they're writhing in pain in the ICU and cannot eat or drink. They're in the ICU and there is a step between them and death. Oh, that's when we realize what a fool I was to grumble at life. What a fool I was to grumble at small things and never be grateful. Just imagine if our eyes are opened, and we look at our life and it's all filled with the bounties of God and we've always been grumbling. Our lifespan is infinite, bountiful mercy. It's just the breathless and mercy of God. That's the Israelites, right? They didn't realize this until they faced great danger and they were taken into captivity and they have suffered worse than death tragedy, right? And but in all the tragedy they realized one thing. You know what? That comes in the book of Lamentations when they are crying and suffering and crying without that. The beautiful verse comes there, right? Lamentations 3:22. It is the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. We are not consumed. You know why you are not consumed? You are not in grave or we are not in hell. It is the Lord's mercy and His compassion fail not. Great is His faithfulness. So when we celebrate another birthday, may the blind eyes open to realize this truth. We have not got a year, right? We just getting the next breath is the bountiful mercy of God. What about how grateful should you be if you've got another year? And the second thing that David realizes is the protecting providence of God, right? First thing he realizes that, it's the bountiful mercy of God. Every second is not only the bountiful God's mercy, but the life continues because of the protecting providence of God. The providence of God works both internally and externally, right? Internally, there is a constant influence and support of life. The life is maintained. The human life is a mystery.
How do you think your life runs, right? There is a, inside, where does that energy come? Where does this animating influence life come? It comes, by the power of God, right? Scripture says He upholds all things by the word of His power. In Him we live, move, and have our being. God not only gave us the first breath to handle when He created man, do we realize every breath that you take, you and I take, every second comes from God? That's what it means. We live and move and have our being. We cannot take another breath or a moment without Him. Right? Just like a musical instrument, if it's a pipe, right? There cannot be any hair in our music without the musician playing it. Neither can you and I breathe, move, see, hear, eat, drink. None of our internal organs will ever work without the ventilator of the animating life support of God. Do you believe that? That's what scripture says. Job 12:10 says, in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. Lord, the sustaining, ventilator power, the life support for every human being invisibly comes from Your hand. It is because of whom you and I breathe. That's the internal working of the providence, right? If God would just let that, just unplug that ventilator, you and I are gone, people. It is because it comes from Him, His hand. Secondly, externally, the providence of God, the eye of providence watches over us and preserves us by putting the hedge around us every second. The care of the providence, right? Yes, it kind of protects everybody, but there is a special protection for believers. Peter says you are preserved by the power of God. You remember Satan wanted to destroy Job and he accused God. You know why? You have put an edge, you have put a protection around him. I can't even go. Remove that protection. Then he will curse you. Every step you have to get God's permission to cross, right? First, don't touch his body, right? And then don't touch his life. So every believer, you and I, our life is sustained because there is an edge around us. And you may not see it, but Satan sees it, our enemy sees it, the danger sees it, and Satan cannot find the gap until God opens it, and it is because of that protecting hand. Internally, his ventilator power, and life comes through that power into our lives, which makes us move, live, and have our being. And externally, it is his protection that sustains his life. And David recognized this in this prayer, and that's why he could pray, deal bountifully with your servant, Lord. Because it is your bountiful dealing that I may live. I may live. Right? So, it's a beautiful prayer. So, we see, before we go to the last point on the purpose, why is he praying that? I think there is an application, right? We should pray to God to open our eyes to see every second of our life is the bounty of God. We don't have that life. We will be like this crooked and perverted generation, just like Paul says, you should shine as light, doing everything without grumbling or complaining. How will you do that, right? Yes, you're so grumbling, you're so always filled with complaints. And that's what the world is, and that's what the world has taught us, right? They're always complaining, always grumbling, always. He says this is a crooked and perverted generation, twisted minded people. They don't know what they are enjoying. How can a living man, sinner, complain on this earth? Every second he's enjoying the bounty of God. We have that same mindset we've learned from the world. And Paul says you should be different. Right? You should be different. He's saying you should live without grumbling. And that comes when your heart is filled with gratitude and overflowing with gratitude. Right? And that's the gratitude that energizes us and helps us to serve God, do something for God. You know why we don't do anything for God? Because we're already grumbled. We're all unhappy about things, right? We do not give ourselves to God, God made us and God keeps us. We should recognize that. And we should learn to trust God's providential care for future. That should be our trust. We should trust Him for all our future needs. Let me read a wonderful promise in Isaiah 46:3. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, who have been upheld by me from birth. I have held you from birth. And the beautiful word is, just like the mother puts a costly towel wrap and holds her child like this, that's the word, I have upheld you from birth. And who have been carried, I have carried you from the womb, even to your old age, even to the gray hair, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Even I will carry and I will deliver you. It's a beautiful promise. He says, I will take care of you. I have taken care of you. I will take care of you. So we've been supported by God, and, many times like this overactive and ungrateful, cuddle children, they kind of scratch their mother's, parents' face. You've seen that? They are like that, He's always, create offenses and by our sin. But the arm of providence continues to carry us. When we were a child, we did not praise God because we didn't have capacity to praise God and be grateful to Him. After, when we were unsaved, we did not praise God because we were in sin and we were grieving God and we were depraved at that time, and so many years have gone by, but He's held us in His arms in all those years. So many years, right? We have not praised God. We have not thanked God. We have not done anything to God. To the God in whom we live and move and have our being. We feel an obligation here. We feel so obligated to our parents, right? They have taken care of us and we should do something. We feel an obligation to God. Though He was closer to our breath, but our hearts were far from us, from Him, right? As a child, as unsaved, He didn't. Now He has saved us, He has redeemed us, and He has revealed Himself. And how should we praise and think about it? Every morning when we wake up, right, we should humbly consider, the whole 8 hours, we didn't praise Him, but He protected us. For, think about it, the same Lamentation says, Lamentation 3:22, for God's compassions are new every morning, fresh. As if it's never tired being merciful to us, right? As if it's never tired, even though we've sinned yesterday night and we've done all kinds of wrongs, the mercy doesn't stop coming from Him. Every morning we should thank Him. Every morning we should thank Him. And then, it goes on to say, if this life, every second is the mercy of God, and so undeserving we are, oh, what should we say about eternal life? Right? If this is the bounty of God, can you imagine what should we say about eternal? He's going to give us eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Oh, how we should be thankful, right? This Sunday we're going to read about God has made us citizens of heaven. And that it is only when our hearts are always overflowing with gratitude, right? That's when we want to serve God. We want to do something with God, something for God, right? In the years that He's given, the Lord has protected us. So let's look at the final. Why does David ask Him for a long life? That's what he's saying, right? What is the purpose for which he prays for a long life? Is he a petition? Deal bountifully with me. Is he the result that I may live long? And it's with the recognition that every breath is the bounty of God. And then finally, purpose. What is the purpose? He's praying for a long life, right? He prays for a long life, I don't think is wrong, because the Old Testament and more Old Testament promises this, right? Exodus 20:12. If you obey your parents, right, honor your parents, you will have a long life. Nothing wrong with having a long life, as long as, because that long life gives us a lot of advantages and to glorify God, to be useful to others and serve others. That long experience of testimony and witness and for years together is a great, powerful influence on the coming generation. right? And 8 people, and even one man who lived long, you know, he was the one who discipled me, right? And pray, David is praying for a long life, not that he may live long. What is the end? What is the purpose that he prays for? Look at that verse, that I may keep thy word. David is not praying for long life so that he can eat and drink and enjoy life, and there is a higher purpose for which he is praying. Lord, I may be given grace to keep thy word. Right? And he considers that as the greatest bounty, to have a long life and have a heart, continuing heart, to obey God's word. Right? If you desire long life, you should desire it so that we can obey God and glorify Him. Right? Lord, I want to live long. For what? That I can obey you. And you know, I want a long opportunity to honor you. I want a long testimony. I want to give a long testimony for you. And this is the argument he pleads in other places also. For example, Psalm 118:17. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the God. For in death there is no remembrance of thee. In the grave who shall give thee thanks? Lord, I want to glorify you here. And even Paul, Philippians 1:20, he says, whether in life or in death, I may be glorified, Christ may be magnified in my body. So this is a God-pleasing prayer. Because we know the chief end of man is what? Glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's the perfection of our life, right? That's the purpose of our life. Without which, even though we live, you know, we are dead. We are dead. Okay, and let me conclude with one application. So we've seen the petition, we've seen the result of that petition, that he may live long, and the purpose that he may keep thy word. Let me ask you one question. Who among us doesn't want to live a long life, long healthy life? Right? Nobody. In a way, the whole world, if you think about it, everybody is praying, you know, their temple, mosque, and what are they praying for? They are, everybody in one way or the other, they are praying this prayer, Lord, give me a long, healthy life. If you ask us, right, ask ourselves, why do you want a long life? What answer will you give? Think about it. You pray for health, right? Why do you want to live? Why do you want to live? People don't have a clear answer. I think we shouldn't be like that. Some would want to enjoy the bodily pleasures, right? We want to enjoy the life, the worldly pleasures. Is that a higher purpose? Even a pagan like Aristotle, you know, he said, a man doesn't deserve to have a man who lives only for the pleasures of the body. Right? And even unbelievers thought like that. Think about believers, right? When there are eternal pleasures that are waiting for us, do you think these pleasures, these pickpen pleasures of the world is going to be great? And you don't want to live? You want to live here so that you can miss that? That's a foolish purpose. What is the other purpose that you want to live long? Some, they don't want to leave their family. Right? They don't want to live their children. They're so dear to them and they want to live here. Is that a higher purpose? Isn't God better and Christ better and the heavenly saints better than any relationship in this world? Right? And some want to, you know, live long life so that they can settle all their debts and commitments and save somewhere. They want to see their children well settled and not leave their children as orphans, you know. Is that a God glorifying purpose? That's where you want to live? Isn't that a purpose that is coming from unbelief? As if God himself will die after you die, right? As if, you know, all the patriarchs, when they died, they said, do not worry, I'm going, but God will be with you. Right? If we can't trust our children with God, how do you say that we are trusting God for ourselves, right? That's not a higher purpose. So all these desires are coming from unbelief. Let's learn from David. Why should we live? Right? Why do we want long life? Lord, I want longer life. I want to live. Be merciful to me so I can obey your word and serve you and glorify you. This life has value. This prayer also teaches this life has value only when we use the opportunities to serve God. You see that?
There is no value in this life. Life has to be valued only for the purpose, for this great purpose. Only for this great purpose. And this service that God, wherever God has kept us in providence, we should seek to serve Him and serve Him according to His word. Not keep doing our own things and things that serve. But I want to keep your word. Right? I will serve you by keeping your word. We must measure our service always with the actions of the word. And when we are serving God, this is a promise. Death will never take us away until the work that God has appointed to us is done. Isn't that a wonderful assurance, right? Until that work is done, our life will not go. Just like Christ, you know, before dying, He said, "Father, I have finished the work that You have given Me." Right? That's what we should learn from Paul. Right? Our eternal Paul was very eager to serve God and he was laboring for God. Why was he laboring? He says, every man will receive a reward according to his service. Because the eternal heaven's glory will be based on how we serve God. And life has to be valued only for that people. That's the highest purpose for you and me to live. That's it.